So begin the current Daf, Masechtas Me'ilah Daf Yud Zayin. Begin on the second line down at the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, the series of Mishnayos of this Perek, regarding the concept of Mitztarfim, regarding the combination of two different types of Isurim, as we discussed regarding the laws of Me'ilah, and then we segue into different related halachas. Says the Mishnah, Dam HaSheretz V'HaBasar, the blood of the Sheretz, which there's certain types of Shratzim that are, when they're dead, they contaminate. So the blood of the Sheretz, and the basar, the flesh of those vermin, mitztarfim zemze, they combine one with the other for the minimum measurement of a nadasha, the size of a lentil, to transmit the laws of tumma. Now, klal amr bishu, he says the following general rule. He says, kol she tumasa bishiyura yishavin, if the tumma and the measurement are the same, so for example, if let's say they're both nevelos, or they're both types of shratzim, let's say like a weasel and a mouse. So then, mitztarfim, then they're going to combine together, where even if they're there are two different things, but if they're both the same tumah, there's certain a type of tumah that it conveys, and it's also the same measurement. But then they combine. However, as the Mishnah explains, let's say tumasa. Let's say they're tumah, for example, a sheretz, which is a dead vermin, a small insect type of creature, and nevela, which is a dead animal carcass. There, the tumah is the same because they both contaminate for what's the extent of tumas erev. That the tumah lasts only until the evening, if one immerses, and that evening is already tar. But their measurement is not the same, meaning by nevela, the measurement of its tumah contaminates if it's the size of an olive, but a sheretz, it contaminates even the size of a lentil. Or let's say shiuroi, let's say their measurement is the same, like an example, a nevela and a mace, where the measurement, the size of the element, both of them contaminate the size of a zayis, of an olive, but v'loy tumase. But their tumah, their extent that they contaminate is not the same, because a mess, a dead person, contaminates a person who touches a dead person up to a period of 7 days. And the veil only contaminates until the evening, tumas erev. Or, loy tumase v'loy shir, let's say their tumah and their shir are not the same. For example, a mace and a sheretz. Sheretz, its measurement is the size of a lentil, and its tumah is only until the evening. A mess is the size of an olive, and it contaminates up until 7 days. Any one of these three, aim and starf, and they're not going to combine. Meaning it's not enough to have tumah without shear, or shear without tumah, and definitely not if it's not the same shear and tumah. Only if they shear the same measurement, which is the same size, the dimension of the thing that's contaminating, and the tumah, which the extent of how much it extends the tumah to what touches it for that measurement, if they shear both those characteristics, that says Rabbi Shua, then they're going to combine together. Now, going to the first halach of our Mishnah, that we said that the blood of the sheretz and its flesh combine for contaminating the tumah of the sheretz. So Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Zeira, he says, the girsa we have is v'chein, but the girsa that's brought is uvay, and in it. In other words, the way the Mefarish explains it, is that this, that the Mishnah says that the blood of the sheretz and its flesh combine, or specifically if it's the flesh of the sheretz which the blood had come out from, only if they're both from the same sheretz, the blood and the flesh. But not if you have the blood from one sheretz and the flesh from another sheretz, if it comes from two of the bishratzim, then they're not going to combine. And on that, the Gemara asks, the Girsa adds, says the words are must of abuse of Reb Chanina. He asks from the following Bryce. The Pasuk says of a Yikra, which the Pasuk says that Eila, these are, as the Bryce quotes the word, Hatameim, those that are tummy for you, every sheretz that someone's going to touch. When it's dead, he's going to contaminate that person who touches it up until the evening. Now, the Hatameim, the Tameim, the hay is superfluous. Malamit Shem and Starfim says the Bryce comes to teach that they combine Vafila sheretz, Visheretz. Even if it's one sheretz and another sheretz, in other words, if you have a half a measurement from this sheretz and a half of the measurement from another sheretz, they're going to combine. And that is even sheretz v'dam, even if one is the sheretz part, the flesh, and one is the blood. And that's bein mishneh echad, whether it's from one species, bein mishneh shem, is whether it's even from two different species. Let's say half of the measurement is from a weasel and half of the measurement is from a mouse, they're going to combine. So that's difficult on Rav Chanan, who said, no, specifically it has to be the blood and the flesh from the same sheretz. Here we see that you could have, no, the blood and the flesh from Shnei Shemets, from two different types, not necessarily from the same sheretz. So Rav Yisrael says, Likash, it's not difficult. Kan Bekule. Here the Bryce is talking about, if the sheretzim were intact, then it doesn't make a difference if it's from one species or from another species. And if, let's say, half of the measurement comes from one sheretz, another half of the measurement comes from another sheretz, or from this one comes blood and this one comes basar, since they're coming from a distinct place, because both of them are intact shrotzim and they're considered distinguished, therefore it's going to combine for the halacha of joining together to create the tumah of the sheretz. But Kan, here of the halacha of Reb Chanan, was Torma b'miktsasai, when only partial, when it was not intact sheretz. Rather, you had pieces of each one here on either place, and then from one part separated some blood, and from one separated some flesh. Since they didn't come from intact sheretzim, they're not considered distinguished and significant, therefore they're not going to combine the flesh of one with the blood of the other one. Rather, only if the flesh and the blood came from the same sheretz, then it's going to combine. And that's what he was qualifying for the halacha of our Mishnah, that this that we indicate can combine has to be the same one, specifically if it's from Miktsasa. But you're right. If it's going to be, like the Mishnah continued, Rabbi Yeshua said that we'll have other things combining, and like as the Gemara quoted the Braisa from Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanina, that if it's going to be Shleimim, then it's even if it's Shnei Shemes, that it's going to combine. That says the Gemara Umanot Tamar. Where do we know there's such a concept that we're going to differentiate between if it's coming from an intact thing or from something that's a partial thing? Says the Gemara in the Tanya, like we'll learn in the following Braisa, which will prove this concept. The Braisa says, Nishpach ala Ritzpa. If a revius of dam, which is the minimum measurement of contamination in the laws of a mess, if that blood spills on the ground, so you have the blood of a dead person, a revius, v'hayim kaima katafris. Now, its area where it's the blood spilled was an incline. Now, the reason why we're picking specifically a ritzpah, which is a smooth surface, so then if it's on the incline, so the blood could spread out, and it's not going to stay necessarily in one area. So you could have the following situation, where ihel al miktsasa, so you have somebody that's leaning over part of that revius of the dam. So he's leaning over, but it's not over all of the blood, because it's spread out, the blood started spilling out. So then tar, because he didn't have the halacha of oil, which is either that the tum is on him, or he's over it, or something's over both of them. Here he's only leaning over part of the revius, not all the revius, so he's going to remain tar. But if let's say il al kulay, but if let's say he was leaning over all of the entirety of the revius of the log of blood, then tum is going to be tum. Now the girsa, which the Shita Megubetzis, there are those who take out these words, which is part of the proof that my miktsase. What does it mean when if he's leaning over part of it, that then he's going to be tar? Ilem and miktas dam, if you think you can read it as literally as we translate it, I mean, if he's leaning over part of the blood, which this line, there are those who take that out because it seems like the question is actually from the other half of the statement, from when he's leaning over all the revius. But the concept is the same, basically coming to say that you can't read it literally, partly or all of it, because as the Gemara continues, it says, V'omer b'chanino, Amar Rebbe, says, revius dam, shehegis ba. If there's a revius of dam, which is the measurement of that contamination of a dead person in the measurement of blood, if a person is mixing it with a spoon or something else, so tahira, the person's going to be tar. Even though when he's mixing it, it's not possible he's not leaning over all the blood. And still we're learning that tahira is going to be tahar, the one who's mixing it. So then the question is, how is it possible he in the previous braisa says if he's leaning over all of it, he's going to be tummy? No, rather infers the Gemara. Obviously you have to make the differentiation we said before. Kan, over here, this that we learned the braisa that he's leaning over all of it is going to be tamei. That's bekulay. That's where that revius of dam came from, an intact dead person. Therefore, it's considered significant to contaminate with the halachas of oil when the person's leaning over all of it. But Kan, over here, where we said that if he's mixing it, he's going to be tar, but he's leaning over revius of dam, how's that possible? It's toma b'miktsasai, when that revius of dam did not come from an intact dead person. Rather, it came out from a part of a dead person, where only part of the dead person was there, and then the revius of dam came out from that. So even though there's a revius of dam, since it didn't come from an intact dead person, it's not considered significant, it's not going to be contaminated by oil. So Shema Mino, that infers the concept that we were saying before, that it's going to make a difference. Yes, Rabbi Yisrael Chanin is halacha, but that said that the sheretz and the dam have to be coming from the same sheretz, is specifically by miktsasai. But you're right, if it's coming from kulay, as we learned in the Braisa of Rabbi Yisrael Chanin, then it's even if it's from two different shratzim, the dam from one, the bas from the other one, if they're bekulay, then it's going to contaminate, and it's going to combine together for the laws of Tumah. Now, regarding the primary halacha that we're discussing, our Mishnah was discussing regarding the combination, but regarding the primary source of this halacha, Shol Reb Masi ben Cheresh es Reb Shimon ben Yechai bi'ir Reimi, in the city of Reimi, yes, Reb Shimon ben Yechai, minayin ladam shratzim shrutami. We're saying that it combines with the flesh itself, but how do you know at all that the blood of the sheretz contaminates? So Amalei said to him, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says of Yikra, and the Pasuk says, V'zeh lechem ha-tamei, that this should be for you, tamei, which the Pasuk there continues, b'sheretz ha-sheretz al-aretz, talking about the laws of the Shratzim. So what you see from the Pasuk is that It says that this pasuk is superfluous to expound this position, say what's tamei, even the blood of the sheretz, because really there's another pasuk in the Yikra Daf that says eila tameim lechem. We already know that they're tamei. What's it saying? Bezel lechem atamei, to add on something else that's regarding the sheretz as tamei, even regarding its blood. Now, so Amr Loi, they said to Reb Masya, Tamidav, the students of Reb Masya said to him, who he was the one that asked this question, Reb Shimon ben Yechai, who gave him the response, says Chakim le ben Yechai. Ben Yechai, Reb Shimon Yechai, he's already very intelligent. He knew the answer when you asked him. He knew to expound Pesukim very well. So Amalahem, so he said to them, no. Talmud Arach Befiv Shur Belazer Reb Yisi. So this was an organized teaching that was given over tradition from Belazer Reb Yisi, and Reb Shimon Yechai heard it from him. Reb Shimon Yechai did not think of it on his own. It's not like he was so intelligent to know this. I actually heard this from Belazer Reb Yisi. And how do we know that he learned this from Lozer Abiyasi? He says because it's from the following incident. Shepamachas Gaza Hamachas Gezer. One time, the government, that referring to the Roman government, had made a decree. Shleishmur the Shabbos, that the Jews should not be able to keep Shabbos. For Shleimulas Benem, they're not allowed to circumcise their sons. Veshleivulas Nidus, and that they shouldn't have Taras Mishpacha, that they should have to have relations with the women, with their wives who are menstruating. So Halach Reb Ruben Ben Esther Rabli Besiper came in. He went and he cut his hair in a unique way, which is that he cut his hair on his forehead, and he left a ponytail in the back, which is called bleiris, that how the non-Jews used to do, so that they shouldn't recognize that he's Jewish. And they went and he sat amongst the Romans. Amalahem, he said to them, Misha Yeshle Oyev, someone who has an enemy. Yani Ayasha, should he want them to become poor or wealthy? So Amalahem, Yani, they said to him, of course we want them to be poor. So Amalem, he said to them, if that's the case, lo yasam locha b'Shabbos, k'deshiyanu, don't let the Jews work on Shabbos so that they become poor. They're going to have one day, they're not going to be able to work. Somebody said, Tavasam, he's saying, well, livatl, we should nullify it. Uvatlu, and they nullified it. So they stopped that the Jews, that they have to work on Shabbos. Chazav Amalem, and then again he said to them, Misha yesh l'ayiv, someone who has an enemy, yachish ayavri, should he want him to be weak or robust and strong? Amalem said to him, yachish, weak. So Amalem, he said to them, if that's the case, let them circumcise their sons when they're infants, do this surgery on them, that it'll weaken them. I mean, they said, they said, oh, he's saying very well, and they nullified it, that to allow the Jews to do circumcision. Chazav Amalem, again, he said to them, someone who has an enemy, does he want them to increase or decrease? Amalem, want them to decrease. So Imken, he said to them, if that's the case, let them not have relations when their wives are menstruating. You can lose half a month. You can lose all that time of being able to procreate. I mean, they said, Tavazam, he's saying very well, but they nullified it, that the Jewish men won't be able to have relations with their wives who are menstruating. So he nullified all the three of the gzeres. But he cured by Shuyud, but then they recognized that he's a Jew, and they returned all the three edicts, all the three gzeres back. So Amar, again, the Jews said, "Miyelech vivad l'gzeres." Who's going to go and nullify the decrees of the Romans? Says the Gittintam and Beis, they said, "Yelech Reb Shimon Yechai, let Reb Shimon Yechai go." Shuhu malumen benisim. He's already learned it in miracles. That is, he already had miracles that happened to him in the cave, in the famous incident in the Gemara and Shabbos, Alam Gimel and Beis, when he was in the cave for all those years with the tree that sustained him and the water. Now, v'achav miyelech, and who should go after him? Who should escort him together? Reb Lazar Reb Yisi. So Amalem Reb Yisi, but the father of Blaz Reb Yisi said to them, "What? Ve'ilo hoya Abba Chalafta Kaim? If my father Chalafta, who was the father of Yisi, was alive, Yichel Matuloy Meloy Ten Bin Chalariga. What you could tell him, give your son over to be killed. So too, you can't tell me that I should give my son to be killed, that he should go on this mission with Reb Shimon Yichel." So Reb Shimon said to them, "What? Ilo hoya Yichel Abba Kaim? What do you think? If my father Yichel was alive, Yichel Matuloy Meloy, you could tell him Ten Bin Chalariga that you should give your son to be killed." So Reb Yisi said, "No." He says, "Ano Aslan." He says, "Let me go." Dilma Anushle Reb Shimon. He wasn't concerned about the Romans killing his son. He says, maybe Reb Shimon, if I'm going to let my son go, Reb Shimon's going to have him punished. The Komestafin, I'm afraid that Reb Shimon ben Yechai is going to punish my son because I'm more afraid of him than the enemies, the Romans, because I'm afraid that he might get angry at my son for something and then have him punished. So Kibbel Alei, Reb Shimon Yechai accepted upon himself Deloy La'anshe, that he won't be the cause of the punishment of Reb Elazar Reb Yisi. So he went along. But says the Gemara, Fil Hachai Anshe, and even though in spite of that, he was the cause of his punishment. As the Gemara brings, when they were on the road going, it was this question that was asked in front of them, that Reb Masa ben Charash had asked Reb Shimon Yechai, "Minayin l'dam asheretz shur tamei?" How do we know that the blood of asheretz contaminates? So, Akim Piv Reb Elazar Reb Yisi, it means he twisted his mouth, means to say he didn't say it out loud as his custom was normally to do. Rather, he mumbled it. He said it in a very low tone, more than he distorted it. Let's say ikim piv in from his usual way. The Amman, he whispered so that Reb Shimon Yochai shouldn't realize that it shouldn't be like as if he's saying a halacha in front of the great Reb Shimon Yochai. And he said, it's from that pasuk, from Zelechem Atam, it was his extra to teach that's how we know that the blood of the Sharetz also contaminates. Even so, Reb Shimon ben Yochai realized what he had done. And normally Reb Shimon said to him, from the movements of your lips, it's recognizable that you're a Talmudic scholar. I saw that you gave a good response, and obviously you're a sage. You knew how to answer appropriately. But you went and you taught a teaching in front of me. So Ayachzah ben Etzalav, let not the son go back in front of his father, and he punished him. Now, the rest of the incident is brought in the Agadata, that what happened was that he was on his death, but he was going to die. And so Reb Shimon Yochai realized that he had recalled that he had promised his father that he was going to bring him back in peace. So he beseeched mercy from him, and as is explained over there, how he was healed, and therefore he ultimately came back to his father. Now, but in the incident continued, once we introduced this, because we wanted to say that Reb Shimon Yochai didn't know it on his own. He had heard from Lozra Berabiesi, but the incident continues. Yatsu lekrosai ben Tamalian. So ben Tamalian, who was a shade called Noityon, one of these demons, came over to Reb Shimon Yochai, and he said to them, "Ritzenchem avay yamechem, do you want that I should come with you and help you in this mission?" Sabach Reb Shimon v'amis. Reb Shimon cried and he said, "Mashav chashal beis abba, if the maidservant of my father's household," referring to Hagar, the wife of the shivcha of Avram Avinu, she had an angel come to her three times. Three times it says in the parsha when she was out on the journey with Yishmael, the malach came to her. It says three times. And me, I don't even have a malach come to me, but one time here I have a shade coming to help me. But he says, let the miracle come from wherever it's supposed to come. So Kadamhu, so this shade, Ben Tamalian, went in front of, preceded Reb Shimon Yochai and Reb Elazar Biesi, and Alba Brati, the case of the shade, went into the daughter of the Caesar, making her crazy, and she was screaming, being possessed by this Ben Tamalian, and she was saying, "Bring me Reb Shimon Yochai," the whole time she was screaming that. So Kimiyata Hassam, when Reb Shimon Yochai came over there, Amai said, "Ben Tamalian, say, Ben Tamalian, go out, Ben Tamalian, say, Ben Tamalian, go out." Now, Vakim in the car, Lesa went to Reb Shimon Yochai, called him. Nafag Azal, he went out from possessing the daughter of the Caesar. So, Amalahain, so he said to them, "Sheilu koma de islachain lemeshal." So, ask whatever you want to ask, because you saved my daughter. Vailinu leganze lishko kadabain, you could go out to the treasury and take whatever you want. Now, they went in, and Ashkucha Huigur, they found that letter that was written, all these edicts against the Jewish people that we mentioned before. Shaklu vakaru, they took it and they tore it up. That's all they wanted for what they were doing. Night. Moreover, says the Gemara behind the Amr Belazar Rabbi, who he was the other one going with Reb Shimon Yochai, and he says that's what it means elsewhere that the Allah has brought. He says Anira Isiyah Beirayim. He says I saw the pareches, the curtain that separated the Kodesh from the Kodesh Hakodeshim. Says I saw it in the house of the Caesar that time when they went into the treasury. V'havaleh kamiti b'dam, and had many drops of blood from the Paran Asar of Yom Kippurim, which was sprayed on it like what's called kamatzlof, like in a row. Means to say that the drops weren't on the side, rather they were in the row, because there was a discussion exactly how did they spray? Did it spray on the curtain, the front of the curtain? So he was saying that I saw the actual curtain in that time when they went to the treasury of the Caesar, and therefore he was able to testify exactly how was the avodah done by the Kohen Gadol on the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodeshim on Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing this theme of these Mishnahs, as we mentioned regarding Tziruf, about the combination of different things. So it says the Mishnah, Pigul b'ha noiser emet tarfen. Pigul noiser actually share a commonality regarding the Kodshim, regarding beyond its time, but Pigul is a machshava. When they were doing the Avodah, that it should be left over beyond its time, and even if it wasn't left over yet, there's a chiv of karsa of eating it. Noiser is when it actually was left over beyond its time. So those, says the Mishnah, are two divinisurim, and emet tarfen, they don't combine. And the reason is Neshem Shneshem is because they're two different titles of Isurim. One's Pigul, one's Naisur. Now, Hasheretz v'anevela, a dead sheretz and a dead animal. V'chein hanevelo basar meis, so a dead animal and a dead human. Ein mitzarfim zem zelatama, they don't combine one with the other to transmit tuma. Afil b'kal shebashneim, and even for the lighter of the two of them. In other words, let's say there's less than the lentil of a sheretz, it doesn't combine to complete the kezais of a nevela, which is the lesser, where it requires a larger measurement of contaminating, you can't combine even the more severe with the more lenient. And for sure, you can't combine the nevela to be the kapachas mekadosh of a sheretz, which that's a more severe shear that's even a lesser amount, you can't have the larger supplement that which is smaller, which is more severe. And so too, that's regarding shiurim, so too regarding tumah. You can't take a half an olive size of a dead person, it doesn't combine to the half an olive size of an nevela, even though that's a lesser, which it's only tumas erev, but again, since if it's a different shear, if it's a different tumah, so then, as we said in the previous Mishnah, then we can't have them combined, as we said, unless it's going to be the shear and the tumah is going to be the same. Now, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, he qualifies the opening halacha of our Mishnah, and he says, Loishon, we didn't learn that pigul and noiser don't combine. That's el la tumas hayidayim. Says that's specifically regarding what's called the tumah of the hands. That's rabbinic tumah, as the Gemara says, Masechet Pesachim daf kafchaf on the base, that there was a rabbinic decree regarding pigul and noiser specifically, which are the two things that we're talking about in our Mishnah, that it contaminates a person's hands who touched them. Now the reason for that is the Gemara that explains, either because we suspect the Kahanim, or because the Kahanim are lazy, whatever, that's the Gemara there explained, but that's a rabbinic decree, and therefore, that's why these two pigul and noiser don't combine to contaminate the hands, which is because that would be a takanta la takanta. It would be a rabbinic institution on a rabbinic institution, which we don't do. Because since the whole halacha of pigul and noiser, that it contaminates the hands for whoever touches, is rabbinic, if you're going to say that the two combine, it's a gezer la gezer, a gezer la gezer we don't do. So it's only regarding that that the Mishnah says they don't combine. Avlein achila, but regarding the consumption of pigul and noiser, which both of them are forbidden to be eaten, them it starts from, they actually do combine. So if it is less than the olive size of pigul, and the noiser supplements it to be kezayis, and he eats it, then you can be chai because of pigul. Or so to the opposite of, let's say the majority is noiser, and pigul supplements it to be kezayis, and someone eats it, he's going to be liable for eating noiser. The time like Linda Breiser, but let's he says, the Pasuk says in Shemais, lo ye achil, which there the Pasuk told me if it was left over from the meat of the karbanas, lo ye achil shouldn't be eaten, but what's the reason that it says? It says, ki kaidishu, because it's sanctified. Now, it sounds like that whatever's going to be sanctified is included in this Isser, so they'll both combine these two things, the pigul and the Isser, are going to be learned off in this lo ye achil, because what it's telling us is kol shebekaydish pasul, whatever became invalidated in its sanctified situation, pigul is when it's a carbon already, and then there was a machshav of chutz hazman, and this is when there was a carbon and it got left over, but it became invalidated in its sanctity. Then bar kos of leit and leisa salichalas, and pasuk comes to give you a negative prohibition on this consumption. Lo yachol kikaydishu, whatever is invalidated of its sanctity, then it says don't need it. So therefore, pigul and leisa will combine for the halacha of the prohibition of eating them. Our Mishnah was only saying regarding the Issa Darabana of Tumas Yedayim, that's what we say for Gzeira L'Gzeira, that we don't make, and therefore it's not going to combine. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Ha'eichel shenitma ba'av ha'tumah, continuing on this theme regarding tzirufin combinations in halacha. Ha'eichel shenitma ba'av ha'tumah, a food item that became tummy from an avatama, which is the primary category. A dead person is considered a grandfather, avi avist, and someone who touches it is considered av. There's a few things that are avatama. But a food item that became tummy from an avatum, which means to say that it's one level lower from the av. It's what's called a vlad, a derivative, or a rishon l'tuma. And vishenitma bevladatum, and something else that became tummy from a vlad, which means to say that thing, which is one step further, is a sheni. So says the Mishnah, mitzdar from zem zeh, the rishon and the sheni do combine one with the other, letami bekasher b'shneim, to contaminate according to the lesser of the two, which is the sheni, meaning they both combine to make something else that they touch, a shlishi, just like a sheni would make, which is the lesser of the two of them. But what the Mishnah is coming to say is that they don't combine to make something else a sheni, like a rishon would make if it touched something else a sheni, because that would be like the more severe of the two, and that it can't do. They can both combine for the lesser of the two. Now, says the Mishnah, kol ha'eichlim mitzdar from zeh mizeh, all food items combine one with the other for the following halachas. Lifsel hagviya kibachatzi pras, to contaminate, which is rabbinic halacha, because a person cannot become tamei from a food item, but rabbinically, a person becomes invalidated if he eats a half of a half of a loaf, which is a quarter loaf of a bread, which there's a definition of how much is a loaf of bread, but a quarter of that, which is half of a half of a loaf, that makes a person invalid if he ate tamei food items. So all food items will combine for that share. And also for the halacha of kibemazin shtei sudis la'erv, there's halacha ba'erv tchumen, if someone wants to have his Shabbos residence 2,000 amas beyond of where it actually is, he could put two meals worth of food to be that he could then go another 2,000 amas from there. So all foods will combine for that halacha. Ukebei l'tamit tumaseich, and also for the measurement of an egg size, where that's the share of contaminating as food items, all food items could combine for that share of a kebeya to contaminate. Ukugregus loitzoy Shabbos, or to be like a dried fig, which is the measurement of carrying out on Shabbos, which is the issa malacha of haitzah, all food items, if one makes a whole hodgepodge and takes out a gregus, that will combine for the issa. And ukukisevis b'yom kippurim, the issa of eating in yom kippurim is the size of a large date. All food items, if one makes a combination of different foods and eats that amount, then he's liable for that issa of eating in yom kippurim. Moreover, kala mashkim tzarfim zumazu, all beverages, all liquids combined with one with the other, for lifsalas agvib revias, to invalidate a person, again, who's drinking something that's tame, the measurement of a quarter of a leg, all beverages will combine. Uchamalei lugma b'yom kippurim, also for a cheekful in yom kippurim, which is the measurement of beverages for the prohibition of not fulfilling inu in yom kippurim, all beverages will combine for that share of a cheekful in yom kippurim. Natanya learned the braisa. Going back to the opening halacha of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Nami, he says, Matam, what's the reason that we said that we combine a Vlad, which is a Rishon, which is a Vlad that's a Sheni? So he says, because She'ef L'Sheni She'as a Rishon, is because a Sheni L'Tumma could become a Rishon L'Tumma. So therefore we say they combine together to make what they now touch, a Shlishi. Says the Gemara, Mika of a Sheni Rishon, could a Sheni become a Rishon? Halei Efshar. What do you mean? It's not possible for a Sheni to make a Rishon ever, because we never find that a Tumah could even make something the equivalent of what itself is. It can't, a Sheni can't even make a Sheni. For sure that it can't make a Rishon, what are we saying that a Sheni could become a Rishon? So rather, he says, what does it mean that he's saying that they're going to combine? Amar Rav, he says, Hachakama, this is what he was saying. Migarm l'Sheni, what caused this Sheni to become Tumah? Lav Rishon, isn't it a Rishon? In other words, a Sheni is a derivative from what? From a Rishon. So therefore it's like a Rishon because it's derived from there, therefore they'll combine together to then go ahead and make like the lesser of the two, which is a Sheni, to make what they're now touching together into a Shlishi. Or a similar interpretation of Asham, he says, Rishon v'Sheni l'gabi Shlishi, a first derived and a secondary derived derivation regarding to the tertiary, the third derived, they're all from the same house. In other words, both of them, the Rishon and the Sheni, are coming from the same source, which a Sheni is coming from a Rishon. And that's why we're saying they're the same, and therefore they could combine to do like the lesser of the two to make what they're now touching into a Shlishi, which as the Mefarish points out, really Rav and Ravashi, there's no difference between what they're saying, just the terminology. Ravashi is adding on the words, same b'nei chad b'ksein, and that they're all from the same house, but it's the same concept. Since the Sheni is derived from the Rishon, therefore it's considered the same idea, and therefore it could combine to make now like the lesser of the two, which is the Sheni, since they have the shear of Tumas Eichel and Avikabeya, they can now make, let's say, what they're touching into a Shlishi.